I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
That is smoke.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Oh. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something that's in every household, something that people are a little bit afraid of already.
House cat flu is coming, people. The Center for Disease Disinformation predicts with some degree of probability that the house cat flu might spread in the following hypothetical outbreak pattern. So, petter beware, that warm body on your lap just might be ready to destroy your tender fiddle. Springfielders are advised to stay tuned for more information if they experience any of the following symptoms. Mild thirst, occasional hunger, tiredness at night.
Welcome back. Another episode of Our Interesting Times. It's my pleasure to have Donald Jeffries back on the show. He returns to discuss his new book. I think it was released late June, Masking the Truth, COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World. Of course, Donald is an independent researcher, bestselling author, whose other books include On Borrowed Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World, and Bullyocracy, How the Social Hierarchy Enables Bullies to Rule Schools, Workplaces, and Society at Large. Don's work can be followed and supported at his Substack page. It's called I Protest, right?
Right.
Okay, I Protest. I'll provide a link for that. Before we get into the meat of the discussion, here we are in July. You observed yet another Independence Day, but it seems to – you read a recent piece reflecting upon Independence Day and how it isn't quite what it used to be. The country isn't quite what it used to be. This is America 2.0, right? Maybe it's 3.0, depends how you look at it. The 4th of July, Independence Day. We still observe it, but it doesn't, the government, politicians, the pop culture, it doesn't seem to think much of it these days.
Well, I don't think anybody in the government believes in independence. They don't believe in certainly don't believe in the Constitution that they're sworn to obey and uphold. And they tell you that pretty much. I mean, the Ilhan Omar types, they don't like the Constitution. It, you know, the document itself, anything in it. So it's kind of an antiquated holiday, and it's almost sad to see, because you still see some older people that, I guess, maybe, you know, fly the flag and everything, but almost nobody thinks of what we're supposed to be celebrating, which is Declaration of Independence, though it really was on 2nd, but for some reason it got celebrated from July 4th at the beginning. So, but again, if you read that Declaration of Independence, like I've quoted from it in some of my books, and it's a radical document. It would be considered, you know, an insurrectionist type of a terrorist thing, even if they read it today. And so it's understandable why they don't want to pay much attention to that aspect of it, or just to the founding of the country, because if they talk about the Constitution and everything, and I'm aware that, you know, there's a strong argument to be made that, you know, the Articles of Confederation were better than the Constitution, but still with the Bill of Rights, I think it made it more than palatable. And we see today that, I mean, who in public life supports free speech? I mean, people are fired constantly, canceled for expressing thoughts that are forbidden thoughts. And, you know, they have this thing, hate speech, which is really thought crime. So that's where you're on. So it's just, you know, it's one of my typical patriotic ditties. Memorial Day and July 4th seems to bring out the best in me. So I usually crank out something that you're probably not going to read anywhere else.
Yeah, it seems like if you were to express views on certain matters just maybe 10 years ago, are not considered verboten on any number of matters, whether it be racial issues or moral issues, sexual issues, you know, it seems like we've been force fed this stuff and we have to accept it. It's sort of the new dispensation. If you don't, you're on the outs. You certainly can't hold any meaningful corporate position or in government if you deviate, you know, from the new regime, if you will, at least its agenda. I saw the Netherlands today. Their Miss Beauty, Miss Netherlands is a man.
Doesn't surprise me, I guess. why wouldn't she be?
Why wouldn't she be? Why not? If you can be, any, yeah, that's what freedom is all about. That's what the, you know, independence from. They're declaring independence from reality.
Yes, exactly right.
And it appears that those in power have worked to sort of dissolve the nation over the course of several decades. That's, you know, that's diluting the population, obviously opening up the borders, promoting mass immigration,
right.
Purposely promoting diversity to create the very situation we have today, which is sort of increasingly more of a Tower of Babel than a functioning republic with core values. And we talk, what defines America? You said free speech is one of the things that actually defines America. Other than that, what is it? It's just a one big shopping mall, if you will, and they can't even boast that anymore. And they've been taking several polls, and you know, the only group or cohort of the U.S. population that broadly supports the Bill of Rights and things that one time defined America is America's dwindling white majority, soon to be a plurality, maybe a minority, and that probably is why there's such a war on white people these days, because I think the regime identifies that cohort as a threat. And interesting, you said Ilhan Omar, he wants to scrap the Constitution. That's a real kind of her. I mean, she sneaks into the country, lies her way into the country, and exactly. She wants to scrap the Constitution. They fled Minnesota full of Somali immigrants, so she gets elected to Congress, and she wants to tear up the Constitution.
Yeah. I'll know where, I mean, is there anywhere else where you could have those kinds of people, the squad and so forth, that just are utterly opposed to the rule of law and the document that they're sworn to uphold. And it's just, it's madness. I mean, I talk a lot about how we know that in 1955, there were more people, more mental patients in mental health hospitals than there are today in America, mm-hmm. even though the population has increased like 3 times. And the results are obvious. I mean, you know, if you look at any moment in time, half of America appears utterly insane. I mean,
how many of them are on psychotropic drugs or mood altering?
Yeah, we don't even know that. But I mean, if you look at some of these YouTube videos where the people analyze the TikTok people, and just, I mean, especially some of these young people, I don't, you know, there's a whole sect that claim they're furries, whatever that is, where there's mm-hmm. some kind of furry animals. They're dressing up, not even necessarily as the other gender, but just cats or some kind of indistinguishable animal. I don't even know what they are. I mean, they're just so beyond anything that you would have seen in a mental institution 40, 50 years ago, as opposed to now, it's frightening. And the fact that so many of them not only are out, you know, walking loose and free to maybe mayhem or whatever, but so many of them have positions of responsibility. Like that guy, Sam, whatever his name was, the guy that was stealing women's luggage. I mean,
well, Sam Britton, yeah.
Yeah, Sam Britton. I mean, he would have been Rachel Levine. I mean,
yeah,
they would not have been let out of a padded room, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And these people have some of the most responsible positions in America. It's, I don't know how anybody, but again, I think it you know, epitomizes again why some of us believe that obviously we have to have, we talk about half the marriages in America end in divorce. And most of it is for irreconcilable differences. Well, we have irreconcilable differences with those millions of people who are just utterly nuts, in our view. And that's fine. You know, go start your own, but leave us alone. And don't force us to participate in and enable your madness. Because as it stands now, there's nobody's fighting back. There's nobody in a position of power that is really fighting this stuff. And it's getting worse and worse. In fact, I wrote an article for American Free Press today. It'll be in the next issue about just the continuing transgender madness. You know, something where there was a Jewish camp and a Jewish summer camp in Washington State, I think. It just came out with a big pronouncement that any kids that transition during camp, apparently they're planning on kids transitioning during camp, but summer camp, that they are going to respect their privacy and they're not going to reveal that their parents. So you can feel free to transition here. And you see in Great Britain, they've already passed a law that says if you any parents that who refuse to pay for this transgender mutilation that they call, you know, reassignment surgery or whatever, just transgender care, health care. Talk about a, you know, Orwellian term.
Yeah.
But then you could be prosecuted. And they already have two bills in America, one in Virginia, our state, mm-hmm. and in California, naturally, that are basically trying to do the same thing, that parents who object to their children ruining their lives and becoming freaks, who object to this can be prosecuted. At the very least, probably had their children taken away. So this is, but again, there's, I don't know, Tim, do you see the Catholic Church out there? Do you see all the big born again fundamentalist ministers? I don't see the ministries. That's where opposition to this should come from. And mm-hmm. I don't see anything. I don't see any marches. I don't see any speeches from these prosperity gospelists that are constantly asking for money. That's where it's supposed, because they should be outraged by this. This is an abomination. And I don't hear any people like us that are talking about it, but there's no opposition. And if there's no opposition, they're going to keep getting what they want. It's like if you're on, you know, you're playing a game and there's no opponent on the field, you keep scoring. I mean, there's nothing to stop you. That's where we are now. They're effectively, compared today's Republicans, whatever you want to call the Republicans, are supposed to be the opposition to this madness. I called them the Washington Generals. And ironically, recently, Matt Gaetz of Congress, somebody from his staff must have been listening to me, because I can't believe that he got this on his own. He started talking about how the Republicans are the Washington Generals. Matt Gaetz said, if you're listening to me, glad you, I can't believe that a young guy like that got that on his own. That's what they are, the designated losers. They have no chance of winning. They know they have no chance of winning. Everything is against them. The game's against them. The Globetrotters must win. So that's what we're subject to now. We're basically watching a game where we're relegated to rooting for the Washington Generals to have zero chance of winning.
Yeah, it is perverse, and it's so strange to see this inversion taking place, where you say like the mental hospitals, the asylums are empty because America is one big asylum.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and we see that in his politics, in his pop culture. Now, again, I think for the most part, the stuff is being, this is a top down thing. So there are people, those who control the cultural high ground, the means of communication, entertainment, and government are doing this. And people have done the research. They've tracked down the organizations, the foundations, the families that are funding this. And, right. If you infiltrate the schools and you create the programs and the policies that convert schools into grooming institutions, you're going to have a lot of kids developing confusion. There's a poll at Brown University where 40% of the student body identified as LGBTQ.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I don't think that's true. I think they're responding to social cues and peer pressure.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if that's higher or not, but it is higher when it's something that usually you'd have found probably in the single digits, even at a college campus, you'd get more of that. Brown's a liberal, it's a wacko college.
Right.
Incidentally, I also saw that more parents than ever are questioning the value of a college education. So, yeah. Gee, do you think
I don't know about you, Tim, but I'm so thankful that my kids aren't young today. I mean, I want them back being young in many ways because it's special, but I would be on a viral video every day probably if there was a kid at the school boards, and especially the ones near us, Loudoun County and Fairfax County. And mm-hmm. Because this is what they're doing is just beyond belief, and the fact that the people can't stop it, and I talk about vote fraud all the time. Vote fraud exists, and they can do it like an election anytime they want, but they really don't need to very often. Just look out there, see who's there. Look at those TikTok people. Just drive around your area when COVID was, at its peak. Still, I see people with masks around mm-hmm. in their car by themselves. These people all vote. I mean, all those mothers that are out there that have absorbed the programming so well that they're willing to think their 3 or 4 year old kid is the other sex, and they're going to do everything they can to crusade, change it.
It's usually mothers or
always. I've never seen one case of a father doing
a father.
It. They may go along with it. But.
Yeah, they may go. Yeah, which is a whole other issue there. Which again, lack of male leadership produces women like that.
Yeah.
Because proper leadership will direct the woman properly away from those things, and those very impulses that make women so destructive will guide it towards constructive and healthy impulses. The manipulation, the emotion, and things like that. And the urge, the desire for status, which is all being manipulated. There's a here's a good this example of this inversion. I saw a thing with Jen Psaki, the former White House spokeslady.
Yeah.
She was on an interview and she started to break down and cry as she discussed, or she lost it or got very emotional as she discussed the harsh and cruel anti-LGBTQ legislation that was depriving children of gender affirming care. So basically she's not getting all emotional. I don't think I don't think she has the capacity to get emotional. I think it's an act, but nevertheless, it's a great example of this emotional. There was on the interview called News Not Noise podcast about legislation. We mentioned, how this not much resistance. Nevertheless, there is a lot of state level legislation clamping down on this, making it illegal, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
And she was talking about this, the various pieces of legislation at the states. She started to get upset. And she said, this is a political wedge issue and an attempt to win a culture war. Well, who started it? Come on. Psaki said as she began to audibly weep. And they're doing this in a way that is so harsh and cruel to the community of kids. So she's presenting herself as protecting kids when this law would protect kids from these ghouls posing as doctors and wacko parents in schools that are grooming these kids, that are mutilating these kids, poisoning these kids with cross-sex hormone treatments that's going to ruin their lives, sterilize them, which is, again, part of the objective, of course, population control. But this is the inversion here, and talk about the insanity, and maybe I think this organization will come up in tonight's discussion, is the CDC gives guidance for trans people chest feeding kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? They've put sanitary napkin holders in many elementary schools in the boys' room. They requested to, and they put litter boxes in some of these schools for kids that identify as cats.
I thought it might be for the immigrant children. No.
Oh, they just do it. We just enable that. And of course, now ironically, you have humans crapping in the streets and places.
They could use them in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Put litter boxes out there since you won't clean them up. But it's, you know, you couldn't even 5 years ago, most of this stuff would be incomprehensible. And it just, I mean, I never write out of stuff to, never run out of stuff to write about or talk about, but it really is when you look at it. Is there, and I don't throw that word insane or, you know, lunacy or anything like that around cavalierly. I come from a tradition when I was young, I discovered Dr. Thomas Zaz. Greek guy, manufactured madness, myth of mental illness. I believe that for a long time. I believed, you know, that's, you know, and I still think a lot of it can be, you know, if you look at somebody and you think if they're under scrutiny, you put anybody under the microscope, they're going to start acting, you know, self, you know, conscious, and they may appear, you know, to be doing something a little crazy. And there's a fine line also between, you know, a guy who just has a lot of oddities and quirks and eccentricities, super OCD, that kind of stuff. If that guy doesn't have a lot of money, then he's considered nuts or weird at the very least, right? But that same guy, if he was, son of a billionaire or something, he's just a little eccentric.
Yeah.
You know, that's like
the eccentric millionaire. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's how you look at Howard Hughes, for instance. I mean, Howard Hughes would have been in a padded cell if he hadn't been a billionaire. I mean, he was completely insane. And, but so I was, you know, and I'm very much aware of how, loved One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I understood that they ruined so many people with electroshock therapy. So I was on that different side. And when Reagan released the mental patients in the 80s, I thought that was a pretty good thing. You know, I didn't know. Who knew? I guess we realize now that more of these people do need to be put somewhere where they can maybe hopefully get help, but at the very least help to further destroy the civilization. Because again, if you have people that are out running around and that are not subject to the same rules that the rest of us are expected to be, if they're allowed to do that, and you already have that to some degree with blacks and, you know, immigrants and some people, they want that cheap labor and they want, so they're not held to the same standards either. But when you have people that, the transgenders, I mean, I don't think it's possible to be a transgender and not be insane to some degree. You can't be sane, be doing that. So everyone you see, that's why they're all so prone to violence and they're getting hysterical and all that stuff. That is every earmark of mental illness, and you can't allow that to happen. But again, they're allowing it because they're allowing the thing itself. They're allowing this transgender nonsense to occur. The medical profession is eagerly participating in it and making a lot of money off it as they do everything else. And mothers, almost all mothers, I'm sorry, I don't think you're going to see a single one case of a single dad out there, a father that is pushing this and the mother is fighting it. No. Every case where they're doing that, the mother's pushing it and the father's fighting it. In too many cases, the father goes along with it. But to have them do something, those mothers are completely insane. If you think your little 3 or 4 year old kid, that you want him to be the other gender and you haven't decided what his gender is yet, and then you decide to take him to a strip show where men pretending to be women are dancing around, and I mean, that's just I don't know. You know, we've lost our way, and I don't know what Sodom and Gomorrah was like, but I know they didn't have all this stuff. Just the technology wouldn't have allowed it. So I think we're way worse than whatever Sodom and Gomorrah was.
Yeah, like I said, this is being promoted from the top down. So if you have all the higher institutions, whether it's academia, entertainment, government, even the so-called professions like the psychological and medical promoting it, you're going to create something I call social contagion. And so you're going to promote insane, crazy behavior. More people are going to pick up on it and act that way. Whatever inhibitions they had, whatever, grounding they had in reality, is going to be severed by this, especially if it's promoted. And you obviously it's being in the media. I mean, I heard today that Dylan Mulvaney had to leave the country because he felt threatened. Well, good. I mean, that's a first step.
But that's the talk. That is that it's really the culmination of this identity politics. You know, identity politics is just driven completely by emotion instead of reason. So it's all based on how you feel, and that's because that's the entire country is being run by identity politics. That's why you see the
worse of all, it's like fake identity, or it's identity based on a very skewed view of history, mm-hmm. whether it's of your culture or other people's culture. So you can have a lot of racial agitation, a lot of promotion of so-called sexual identity, which doesn't really exist, because we know that sex serves a purpose, and understanding that purpose helps guide us how we should behave. And mm-hmm. you get away from that, you become, you know, by definition, perverse. As we can see. And so it's kind of like it's okay to identify as, say, an Irish American, or identify as Chinese and celebrate the culture. To identify as a homosexual mm-hmm. is akin to identifying as a thief, because it's just its behavior, you know, right. and it's a vice. And basically, to celebrate, we now have, you know, it's Pride Month, and trying to creating a summer of pride. You know, and so now we have months dedicated to celebrating two of the seven deadly sins.
Right, right. And Norm MacDonald had a great line about that. The Santa Pep team, he was talking about, and this was before the transgender stuff, really, but he was just talking about, you know, gay pride. And mm-hmm. he's saying, it's not an achievement. It's yes. not, you know, it's not an accomplishment. What are you proud of? And I wish more people would approach that. What are you talking about, pride? I mean, can parents be proud of the fact that they're parents, or are they proud? I mean, you don't have celebrations for the, can you be proud that you worked two jobs to put your kids through college or something? I mean, there are things out there that are achievements that you should be proud of, but you're right. That's one of the seven deadly sins. And to be proud of your sexual identity. That's crazy. I mean, are anybody proud to be a heterosexual? I mean, it's so,
okay, so we'll pick off where we left off. We had a power fairy. Sorry about that. See how it goes. So, okay. Don, we were saying, where were we? Identity politics.
Identity politics, I think it celebrates the emotion over reason. And mm-hmm. That's what we see everywhere throughout our society. We especially see it in the law, where you have all these politicized prosecutions that it's based on the feelings. For instance, Sandy Hook's a very emotional issue. Mm-hmm. So it makes people mad. Somebody questions it. And you can't, how can you have a law because people get angry because somebody questions something? It's basically an extension of the way the crazed woke left is, whether it's Bill Mulvaney or anybody else, that's upset at, or Jen Psaki, that's upset at the, you know, conservative or right-wing opinions. That gets them upset, it triggers them. So they're upset. So because they're upset, we need to change the laws to accommodate them. And we do, apparently, you know, need to prosecute people who upset them. And that's where we are. And we're already there. You've already done Alex Jones being prosecuted, three or four times already for the same crime, which is, you know, questioning an event that was widely reported. How many times did Donald Trump being, what is he, 40, 50 charges, or all, you know, ridiculous stuff, including the most dubious rape allegation ever, where the woman can't even remember what year it happened and joked about it online years afterwards, yet a courtroom saw that and said, yeah, she's got a case, yeah, you're guilty. This is because Trump triggers those emotions. They hate him, so they want those people, they want him, oh, he needs to go to prison. Okay, a lot of us think that Hillary Clinton and all these other people need to go to prison too, but we can't just send them there. If you're going to have a rule of law, you have to come up with a rationale. Okay, what laws do they bring? Like, prosecute them and, you know, hold them accountable. But that's not what they're doing. And so it's an extent of that. That's, so identity politics has reached its zenith with transgenders, because these people are, they're upset. I mean, if you look at them, do any of these transgenders look happy? They just look angry. They're just kind of, you know, shake their, you know, they're mimicking a lot of ghetto behavior, like everybody does. They're shaking their head back and forth and kind of moving their arms nonsensically and trying to act in a threatening manner. Again, this is very ghetto behavior. this is the way they act. If you watch them out, they get right up in your face. And again, they act like they want to, you know, very aggressive and want to get physical. These are not the kind of things that, at least for me, that it can, you know, engender my sympathy or my empathy. You know, it's really, it pisses people off because, you know.
Yeah, they're bullies. They're bullies acting like victims.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they are. And yet they're victims because you won't accept them for what they are. Well, I mean, you know, why won't you accept, some guy that's a real white supremacist, should any of them exist? I don't know where they are, but let's say there is a real white supremacist. Why can't you accept him for what he is? That's what he is. Accept him. He's proud. Isn't he? I mean, why, how come he's not? Pride, right?
Well, yeah, apparently expressing some form of in-group preference or desire to be separate is a lot worse than expressing a desire to sexualize children or to have sex with children in the eyes of the regime, because it's apparently opposing pedophilia is now a sin under the new dispensation.
Well, we're seeing that with the Sound of Freedom, the movie that's out, that is, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard people that really, it's great. I'm glad they made it, but I don't think it's, you know, necessarily pointing fingers at the right directions, but just the fact that they're talking about it has, it's kind of like Trump, you know, has got the other side triggered. And so you have Rolling Stone and all these, they're basically coming out and they're incensed, much as they were incensed in 1991 when Oliver Stone made JFK. Mm-hmm. But a rare occasion when a movie like that comes out, Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson, when these things come out that trigger them, they go nuts. You know, these are the people that don't want to ban books. They go crazy at these. Oh, this is ridiculous. They're so, it's disinformation and tying it into QAnon, which is ridiculous. This movie has nothing to do with QAnon. What are they? So Q are the only people ever that knew about international sex trafficking. I mean, it's an obvious reality. And I don't know how many, I've had people on my show that had been in it and were fortunate enough to survive and get out. But it's very, because I don't know how you can, you come up and still try to have the moral upper hand when you're coming out against the exposure of child sex trafficking. So you're, because basically you're saying you're in favor of it, I guess. I mean, I would argue that if I was debating somebody with it, but I feel confident that most conservative groups won't do that. They'll stutter and, you know, do what they do. It's the Washington General.
Yeah, you saw the, I think last month, Michigan passed a law, a state law that makes it I think it was potentially a crime, considered like assault, to misgender a so-called transgender person.
Yeah.
Because of their feelings. If someone... Basically, the aggression or the assault they feel is based on how they feel, not objective reality.
Right.
So it's all based on feelings. Although no one's considered aggression by forcing you to indulge a delusion or to lie to yourself or to corrupt the language and deny reality. That's not an assault, I guess.
We have to enable their lunacy.
Yeah.
They want to be called they. So you want me to treat you like you're plural, like you're multitudes. I mean, again, but nobody does that. It's like, you know, that's insanity. But that is everywhere now. Mm-hmm. That is school, every business. What are your pronouns? What are your pronouns? What? And again, where's the other side? Where is the opposition to this? There's a handful of Freedom Caucus Republicans. That's it. There's nobody else anywhere. Nobody in the public arena that is saying how, I mean, you talk about the emperor not wearing any new clothes. I'm not wearing clothes. This is insanity. I read Dr. Thomas Zeid, so I'm very dubious about mental illness, about a lot of mental illnesses. But if this isn't mental illness, then such a thing doesn't exist. If you're running around, if you're getting, your mother is getting you, you're a little girl, your mother, or, you know, still underage, and you decide you want to be a boy, so they get this Frankenstein surgery where they leave a Frankenstein scar across your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not even trying to cosmetically make it look good because they want that to be your political statement. You had the Frankenstein scar, so everybody knows, and you're proud of it. You're virtue signaling, and you're standing there beaming the former girl who has mutilated herself and ruined her life, dumbass mother who is, you know, bought into this narrative because the narrative is directed mostly at white women. That's where it's directed. and they're the ones who buy it best. That's why they direct it to them, because they're
Remember when like bulimia and cutting yourself was the big concern, and no one saw that as an identity.
No, exactly. No, but even that was, I knew anybody I knew that cut themselves was always a girl. Always. Mm-hmm. I never knew a boy. Whatever was the programming is bought by them. So they know who the best customers are. That's why they direct it to them. So these mothers who are it's unconscionable that they could do that to their kids and sit there and beam and smile at your child when it's got a Frankenstein scar across it, bigger than if they had open heart surgery. And you're smiling and beaming. And then the evil doctor, supposed to take a Hippocratic oath, who did this to you, is beaming on the other side. I mean, it's insane.
Well, like I said, the Shakespeare said, though this be madness, there's method to it. And obviously to promote this level of insanity and confusion in society serves the interests of those in power, because it's a sort of a war on reality, war on truth. And if you can shatter the idea of objective truth and objective reality, the idea that 2 + 2 does indeed equal 4, no matter what the party says, it's 4, even if they say it's 5. Well, then those in power, those with the resources, have the ability, those in power. Truth becomes the opinion of the powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're, obviously the great leveler is objective truth, objective morality. And if it's expressed in something called the rule of law, it's a great equalizer. So they want to do away with any vestiges of that, any remnant of it, because then they can determine reality. They can determine what is and what isn't, and they can decide what's misinformation, what's disinformation, what's fake news or not. And that's what that's the wider agenda here, is why something so silly, so insane, so on its face, untrue and fake and crazy is being promoted so forcefully by the higher institutions. And recently, Robert F. Kennedy, of course, running for president, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., spoke about Mockingbird. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So if you had trouble here. Operation Mockingbird. And here we have it's a major presidential candidate discussing something like Operation Mockingbird, which was the CIA's manipulation control of the media from the late 40s up until the 1970s. It never ended. It became formalized and refined. That's the same way the MK Ultra is now. It's kind of like everywhere. So is Mockingbird. The press has become, if anything, since the 70s, it's become worse, much worse than it ever was, despite the fact it was heavily controlled then. But you're sort of a Kennedy fan or a Kennedy historian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your take on his him broaching the topic of Mockingbird, and maybe that'll wake some people up to this?
Well, I hope so. But he's wooed me, he's seduced me. He's brought me in, and it's predictable. I mean, I have an emotional attachment to the Kennedys, and I discovered politics as a young child, when Bobby Kennedy, his dad, ran for president, and I was following the primaries. I was keeping track of the delegates. I learned about politics through his campaign, and I was crushed, and I cried, uncontrollably when he died. And so there's a lot of emotional stuff there, feelings, if you will. So when I see his son running, the same name, looks like him, and saying the kinds of things he's saying, I criticized him for, back taking down the tweets from Roger Waters, and then I got into a parade and waving an Israeli flag. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was overkill. But and he hasn't been perfect, obviously. But he's, again, what? Who else do you have? I've never seen a presidential candidate say, I never thought I'd live to see a presidential candidate, least of all a Kennedy, go out and say repeatedly that the government killed JFK and RFK. My father and my uncle. Mm-hmm. He does it all the time. He does talk about Operation Mockingbird. He does talk about false flags. He does, and there's never been any other candidate that is taking on Big Pharma. He's taking on the medical industrial complex, which is a huge part of our society. It's what controlled the COVID narrative. And he's very dubious about that. And he's talked about vaccines. So he's talked about our foreign policy. So yeah, he's not perfect. And he went to the border and said the border needs to be sealed. And that had to be hard for him, because, mm-hmm. They're all open borders guys. And so
Well, he's still many ways a 60s liberal, which can be good and be bad, yeah, because time is kind of the era of relevance they've ever had of 60s liberalism is gone because America is gone. America in the 60s is gone.
Right. Right.
And so it's not even, I don't think it's even a functional many when he talks about things like affirmative action or some of these liberal positions. He's this inner liberal, which, you know, it's baggage, mm-hmm, if you will. But you're right. He does take on, he takes on the, like Mockingbird, or the fact that this, the assassinations and false flags and these things, which is, you know, someone seeking the highest office in the land saying that the government he's seeking to get in control of was guilty of these things.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's like, okay, it's sort of, these are like wounds that America has never, it's never been allowed to heal because we never addressed them. We never dealt with them. They were shoved away. They were covered up. And of course, the regime that profited from it is what's in power now. There's a coup that's occurred.
Right.
So it is refreshing. I heard him like he was just talking. Again, this is an endorsement of all his positions. But nevertheless, he sounds like a thoughtful human being, which is more than he's said for most political candidates. You know, he just had a discussion about the plague, Camus' book. And he's just discussing why it matters with Joe Rogan. And he's like having a normal conversation as opposed to just platitudes, you know, campaign rhetoric, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't speak in sound bites. And if you listen to him, and of course, it takes some getting used to, but his voice is a little better because he had the surgery. And it's a shame. If he had a strong talk, I think he would be that much more effective. But
compared to Joe Biden, come on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And
are you going to tell me that matters? At least he can speak in coherent sentences.
Exactly. And he's... He is much like what attracted, and one of the many things that still attracts me to the Kennedys is that, excuse me, they just were better read and more versed in history than your average political candidate. They would quote the Greek scholars and things like that. His father certainly did.
Did you see his political ad, his latest ad?
No.
It's the most substantive political ad I've seen ever, I think.
Yeah,
he was talking about turnkey totalitarianism. He was talking about the Kennedys. His father said that the rich people don't need the Kennedys because they have lobbyists. It's the poor people that need the Kennedys. So and he's just that's what we should stand for. And so it was a very effective ad. It was, I mean, just go to YouTube, watch the ad. You'll be very impressed with it.
Well, he's got Dennis Kucinich as his campaign manager. He's one of my favorites too. One of the last great Democratic congressman. He was a real populist, good guy. So he picked the right guy to manage his campaign. And he, you know, he just sounds so much more impressive. He's at a different level than all the other candidates because he's obviously way more intelligent, way more educated. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's talking about. He's well, something like the assassinations, which that's my wheelhouse. He's pretty well, especially his father, the RFK assassination. He knows the subject matter really well. He's obviously read a lot of books on it. He knows the subject matter pretty well on JFK too. So, you know, I'm impressed with that. Yeah, he's not perfect. I don't think he's going to question 9/11 or anything, but he's questioning enough, certainly more than anyone else. And I don't even know why. I mean, they're never going to. And the thing is, people tell me all the time, if they let him in, it's because he wasn't legitimate. So I don't even, why am I even paying attention? I don't want my even paying attention to it, but it sucks you in. It sucks me in. He did, and he gives so many interviews, and he's invariably very impressive, you know, when he's talking. And I sit there and say, because he even talked about hate speech and talking about it being an emotion and stuff. I mean, stuff nobody else on the left would say. And he's a believer in free speech, which again, nobody on the left is. So.
Well, the value of it isn't so much the chance that he'll win election to the extent that, you know, that political, especially national elections, mean anything. Even voting matters today. But the fact that you ran a campaign, and with today, his access to the public with media, he can go on the internet, he can say these things, and millions and tens of millions will hear the things that he has to say about some of these issues. That's what matters more, I think, in the final analysis, as opposed to winning next year's election. You know,
yeah, he's bringing these issues out there, and hopefully, the other candidates are may be forced to address him if he stays. And what I am suspicious of the fact he's as high as he is in the polls. I don't know what's going on there, because I figured they'd have them mired at 1 or 2% like they had Kucinich, Champagne, Cynthia McKinney, my friend, people like that. Typically, Pat Buchanan, whenever there's somebody that they really don't want in there, they typically have them at 1 or 2% in these Nicholas pre-election polls. But he's at 20% or whatever, and they're promoting the idea. This is, wow, this is really pretty good. So I don't know what their plan. that would be, I guess it would be the biggest disaster if they let him win or something and he turned out to be a turncoat. Have to be bad. But I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm surprised so far that he's saying what he's saying and he is wearing the poll. So, and again, I said, it sucked me in. The programming, this programming works for me. The Kennedy thinks.
Just when you thought you're out, they pull you back in.
Yes. Yep. Yep. That's right.
Now, here we have, you have this new book that's out, Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World. Now you have devoted, I guess you made a career out of writing about topics that are seriously not covered or easily accepted by the establishment.
Controversial.
Yeah, mainstream media. Now this Masking Truth was sort of a book that's sort of relevant in all times because it sort of discusses the COVID era, which was a unique event. It stands out. You call it the greatest psyop in history. One thing that the book does is shows not so much, not just the COVID thing, but the ongoing effort by the government, politicians and NGOs and oligarchs to enforce one set of rules on the citizenry, control free speech. We talked about, again, the Mockingbird, the control of the media, and exposes all that. And this is shenanigans of Fauci, and Gates, Biden. Right. So it's sort of a book that's relevant, not just for this one issue, but for our time. So you decided to write this book, Masking the Truth, because you and I and everyone else experienced the last 3 years. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I think that this, I don't know how I could not write about it because it's, it is the greatest psyop in the history of the world. It's the first worldwide event. You can argue this is the first single event in human history we know of that really impacted every person on Earth. And not because it was a deadly pandemic, but because of the response to it. And the fact that the entire world was shut down in a few days. And I mean the entire world, there were no dissenters. And I'm talking about the Republicans here in America. Where were the dissenters around the world? Nobody, not one country balked at it, not one leader balked at it, not Putin, not anybody else. They all rolled over and played dead. They put enough fear porn out there to get people scared enough. They didn't need a single cop. They didn't need a single soldier. Not a shot was fired. And they just, from then on, that was it. Once they did that, I think they realized, well, we have more they want. We can do whatever we want here. And so everybody has to mask, get to mask up. Go into a restaurant, but wear your mask, but then when you get to your table, take it off. And nobody's questioning these things. I was, but I would do it and people would just give you an irritating look. They didn't want to think. They were buying the programming. And so they were doing absurd theater, the absurd things like that. Taking their mask off at a table where the deadly virus could get them. They couldn't get them around the door. It's just so stupid. And, staying 6 feet apart. And where the guy who invented that social distancing nonsense in England just admitted, we just picked that out of the air. Yeah, there's no scientific reason for it. But look what happened. You had people all over the world. They didn't get to say goodbye to their elderly parents and grandparents. They didn't get to see kids being born because they bought into this. And every institution bought into it. Again, these were not laws that were passed. Everything was, mandates, as they say. What is a mandate? Not a law. There's no legal. There's nothing in the Constitution about mandates. But that's what was passed everywhere. Decrees. It was basically the same thing as, in the medieval times where a representative of the king would come out with a bugle and say, hear ye, you know, this is the royal decree, you know, and let the peasants know what's going on. That's basically what it was. There was nothing passed anywhere in legislature. All of it was unconstitutional, every single bit of it, forcing small businesses to shut down, while letting, you know, national chains selling the same product stay open. Again, nobody questioned it. Where was the opposition? There were some of us here. Jerry Tenpenny, Dr. Tenpenny, who put the forward to my book, he was there at the beginning. John Rappaport does some great stuff. He was there at the beginning. I was definitely there at the beginning. And but there were many of us. You know, we didn't buy 1 second of this, and that's what differentiates my book from a lot of the other good books out there. My friend Naomi Wolf's The Bodies of Others, and Peter McCullough's book, and Alex Berenson, and Bobby Kennedy's great book on Fauci. They're all fine for what they do, but they all start at point D or something. I start at point A. I'm the only one who has looked at this thing from the very beginning and say, okay, all those other books, good people, but they accept that there was a deadly virus. And then they analyze what the response to it was, especially the vaccine. You know, Bobby Kennedy's great from that point forward, advanced vaccine. And he does talk about, and a lot of them talk about the unnecessary lockdown, especially at schools and stuff. But let's look at what, you know, how did this get started? What happened in China? We know that was theatrics, that people weren't dropping dead in the streets. We know that some woman wasn't running around spinning on doorknobs, trying to make people catch it for some nonsensical reason. We know that they weren't nailing people shut inside their houses when they left the windows open. I mean, this is what we had to believe. And then we know from the Chinese source, which I have in my book, that eventually they admitted, yeah, you know, we included cases of flu and pneumonia in with the COVID cases, which is what we've been saying all along.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in Italy. Italy went over thousands of people died. They quarantined the entire country. This ominous row of coffins in this picture that they proved was taken 10 years before in another part of the world. They still tried it out to scare you. Eventually, Italian media, I have the source in my book, Italian media says, actually 99% of these people were old people that died of something. Didn't stop the fear porn. It barely got reported. Gets over to New York, and where I really am different from the other people, I go down the rabbit hole. So I talk about the empty hospitals. I talk about the refrigerated trucks that didn't have any corpses in them because they're all turned off. All these lies. I talk about the dancing nurses, choreographed things. I worked in a hospital, and that would never happen anywhere in a legitimate hospital. Even if, you know, in the slowest period, you would not have a group of nurses that could get together and orchestrate, you know, choreograph something like that with patients apparently around in the background. I mean, this is, and then be celebrated on Good Morning America or Today Show or whatever it was. This is absolute nonsense. And when you see those things, and you see all the lies they did about the figures and exaggerating things and attributing things to COVID, then you know what a joke this was. Yes, there was, and I know, you know, you were very sick yourself, and I know there's I've known a few others in too, and I obviously people had something, but what did they have? I mean, the flu and pneumonia. The flu's killed 80,000 people a year not that long ago.
People forgot the illness exists for whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And people, once you put that out in the air, you know, it was in the back of my mind sometimes too, that okay, what is it? If you start feeling, you know, sore throat or,
mm-hmm.
you know, congestion in your chest or some headache, whatever, things that are part of, you know, flu, pneumonia, whatever, you start thinking, oh, my God, I have COVID. Then you take the home test kit that PCR tests at 90% false positive. Oh, my God, I have COVID. You start to panic. It's human nature. And then worst of all, I still trying to find anybody. You know, my brother died in the hospital because of COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying this, which made it really personal for me. I dedicated the book to him and all the other, who knows how many people that I've interviewed, many of them on my show. Same thing happened to them. They went in the hospital, killed them with remdesivir and ventilator protocol. But I still, and maybe somebody will contact me at some point and tell me, I've still yet to learn of anybody that died of so-called COVID that wasn't in a hospital. I've yet to hear anybody. Yeah, the guy died of COVID at home. And heard of, I mean, maybe it happened. I don't know, but I haven't heard of anybody. So I think that there were parts to this, but I think people panicked. once they get, and the symptoms are indistinguishable. You know, this was not a unique disease. If it really existed, it wasn't something where you knew it was COVID because your hand turned purple or something. You know, it's something where it's a distinguishing feature. Oh God, you got that. And I heard people say, well, you know, you lose your taste of smell, your taste of sense of taste. Well, it can happen with colds. I've had that before in the past.
Yeah, these are all general symptoms. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing unique about it. So, but people, once they got, oh, you know, I've telling you, man, I've never had anything. Well, okay, I'm not saying you did everything like that, but, you know, at some point, all of us have had like worst cold or the worst flu we've had. So, I mean, and I'm not questioning anybody that got sick. I understand that, you know, that there are things there, but I just look at the fact that this thing was politicized. We talk about identity politics. This was politicized in the very beginning, and there were a couple of key factors to let you know, and that's why I knew early on this thing wasn't legitimate. The first factor was the southern border was never closed. Never closed. Not 1 minute under Donald Trump, the Mr. Border Closing guy, right? Supposedly, he finally had an excuse. You know, they can't, the media can't say anything to Donald. You can't act, you know, supporters saying, oh, you can't do anything. They'll jump all over him anyhow. But here he had a chance where I'm saving the public from the deadly pandemic. I have to close the border. He didn't do it. He didn't ban international travel. All the leaders were caught over and over again without their masks in public. So clearly they weren't afraid of anything. They weren't obeying the same rules that they were making you obey. That's the first signal to anybody that, you know, what's here? This is, you know, like I said, that's why there's empty hospitals. I said at the time, I don't know what a pandemic is supposed to look like, but it's not supposed to look like those videos where nothing's going on. And Jason Goodman and Citizen Richard, people that I've had on my show, they're walking around and they're disinterested EMT personnel are standing around outside and laughing and kind of laughing at him when he asks about COVID. And we saw that over and over again in the videos. That's not normal. All the ambulances are standing idly by. It, you know, where's the signs of a pandemic? There's no. But we're told at the same time, oh, there's so many bodies they can't fit them in the morgues again, which is BS because they went to the refrigerated trucks and they filmed them. They were all in the off position. There were no bodies there. But every single one, all these people in the media, just like they lie about everything else. And that's why I told people at the same time, why would you believe what they're saying? They lie about everything. So why do you think they're telling you the truth this time? Well, do you think they care about your health? Well, do they give out free insulin to people that need it? Why are they giving you free vaccines? Why are they pushing this so much? So there's so many questions that people should ask themselves. And eventually a lot of people, especially on the Republican side, came to, you know, question most of it. But again, I think I'm the only one in this book that questioned the entire narrative. I think the empty hospitals and the dancing nurses are part of this narrative. And I think they have to be factored in so people can see the complete story.
Yeah, I think a lot of people weren't aware of just how politicized public health is. And I went into skeptical, aware of some of the other scandals regarding the swine flu fake pandemic, the issues revolving AIDS, which one thing that Robert F. Kennedy covers in his book on Fauci, the whole AIDS thing and the idea of HIV, you know, HIV hypothesis and the problem with that. And also the abuse of the PCR test for AIDS, and I saw it again being abused for COVID, and of course the using a positive test as a excuse for using experimental drugs on people. Dr. Fauci, I think, is responsible for the death of hundreds of children, and also hundreds of thousands of young men for using AZT, which was a black labeled chemotherapy drug that was, again, brought out again with AIDS in the 80s. And it was that drug that was killed so many people. And and the idea that, you know, looking at AIDS, something as it was obvious that this was a syndrome brought about by lifestyle. If he just bothered to ask the people questions of how they were eating, what drugs they were ingesting, what they were doing in the with their evenings, it was clear that their immune system had been overly taxed and it collapsed. And ascribing it to some sort of mystery virus. Well, that's funny. That was never, by the way, that was never isolated, nor have they ever produced a vaccine for it, despite billions of dollars of research and 30, 40 years of research, right? Fauci spearheaded that. Well, the problems, the whole problems with vaccines in general, the controversy regarding that, and of course, the the explosion in allergies and long-term illness or chronic illnesses with the increasing of the vaccine schedule, along with the corruption of our food supply system, none of which, of course, is being addressed by our public health authorities because you can't patent that. They just want to push drugs on everybody. And COVID became an excuse for that. You also had something, a broader issue was the sort of the economic problems that were going on at the time. In 2019, you did have the repo market freeze up. And so it has to do with the revolving or the circulation of debt, the repurchasing of debt. And of course, we have a debt-based economy, so it speaks to the corruption of our global financial system with the debt-based system, and that was grinding to a halt. So they needed an excuse to sort of to provide liquidity without causing an inflationary crisis. And of course, the lockdown was a good tool for that. And it was Blackwater in the summer of 2019, and which submitted the plan, which was actually implemented in March of 2020, supposedly to counteract the economic effects of COVID, i.e. print a whole lot of money and tell people to stay home, you know?
Right.
And, but of course, BlackRock was hired to manage that. Now we see BlackRock sort of using its control of assets to carry out ESG, among which is Agenda 2030, a lot of this transgender agenda and these things. So it's all kind of related to that. Is the fact that there was a financial coup that was carried under the cover of COVID that Trump signed off on. And of course, then we have the whole 2020 with the, one of the things was, remember late spring of 2020, when the George Floyd riots kicked off. Gee, yes. Wasn't that convenient for the powers that be? They started saying that despite the fact that you can't go to church, go to any group, gather together because of the fear, because it would be a super spreader event. Those protesting racism were given a pass because racism apparently was a bigger public threat to public health than COVID. So therefore, we should let it happen.
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing that, again, with politics, this thing was politicized. You can't, how do you expect people to accept that this is a real thing when you made accommodations for a favored political theory? That, you know, but Black Lives Matters, you favored Black Lives Matters, you wanted them because you're in favor of that, and it's okay.
But a protest against lockdowns isn't okay.
No, that's a super spreader. No, that's, you can't, yeah. That people should be locked up for that. So that's, you know, that's the thing I try to get people to realize. The border wasn't closed. Some protests were more equal than others and were willing in terms of that kind of thing. They weren't kept the same way. Again, this is not the way science, and the entire time they're yelling science and everything they did is anti-science, but that's not the way science works. Science isn't political. So you would have treated it. I don't know what a pandemic looks like, but I would imagine that the lockdowns and quarantines would have looked way different. Again, the border would have been sealed. Probably international travel would have been stopped. If you had to wear these masks, why didn't they have hazmat containers? Why didn't they have places to throw them? People were throwing these masks in the streets with the deadly COVID germs everywhere. Yeah, nobody talked about that.
We're on the floor of their car, on hanging from their mirror, reusing them.
Yeah, exactly. And people,
which, by the way, even if masks do work and if they're used perfectly, if you're a public health official, you have to factor in how a program like that is going to practically be implemented, meaning people are not going to reuse these things properly by the millions. So if you create a masking program, it's not going to function properly because people aren't going to use the mask properly, even if they did work, right? And there was never any instruction on what type of face covering you should use. There are people using bandanas. And
I mean, it was really an exercise in servitude. There were massive servitude The most disillusioning thing, it was just such a disillusioning thing for me from start to finish, because I knew we were outnumbered, but I had no idea we were outnumbered by that much until I saw how people readily put those masks on. And so few people, I protested at first and wouldn't put them on. And then I realized, I told my son, who's the only other one in my family who's in this with me, who's awake politically like I am. And, he was saying, well, why are you wearing that? I said, look, I'm not going to argue with some kid at CBS.
Yeah.
He's not making it possible. I hate wearing the stupid thing. It's dumb. But I don't want him to be fired over it. And I'm just going to wear it briefly when I'm in there. So it was, really – But the idea that, again, we had to kind of cater to their lunacy, because it was lunacy. Put your mask on, please. And all these terrified old people walking around. It's just, I still see them once in a while walking around with the mask on. It just,
well, the mask sort of certain psychological function, because it made everyone still think that there was something going on, whereas they're not wearing masks. Is there something going on? You see people smiling and talking, and so there's a psychological effect. The effect they had on children was awful. Of course, the isolation they felt, from a public health standpoint, you had explosion and obesity diseases, suicide, and these things. These are all things that public health officials should factor into the policies they're proposing. And Dr. Fauci says, well, I'm a public health person. I deal with disease. I don't deal with economy. Well, the biggest driver of disease around the world is poverty. Right. So if you destroy an economy and create poverty or increase poverty, you're going to increase the instances of disease and death and mortality, morbidity. And these are all factored into these things. If it doesn't, then you shouldn't be the policies are then, which effectively what you were for, better part of 20 months, 2 years.
Yeah, we still don't even know. And I tried in the book, but I could only get so far. We still don't know the full details of the economic devastation that they brought. We don't know how many small businesses were actually shut down, how many, almost certainly most of them that were really small that were shut down probably never started up again. Not easy to start a small business. They presumably, if they didn't have the startup funds or whatever, just, how many people...
Remember Build Back Better? Everyone started saying that in unison.
Yeah, Build Back Better. Yeah,
it's like you're obviously reading a script. There's been some, of course, the Klaus Schwab talked about this, that the World Economic Forum had infiltrated various governments. He bragged about it.
There were so many things, and when the vaccine comes and they had the mandates, I mean, how many people were forced to choose between principle and their jobs, that lost their jobs because of it? And again, people point out at the same time, while they were being most workers were being mandated to have to get a vaccine, illegal immigrants were coming across the border and they didn't have to get a vaccine. No one checked their vaccine status. Again, that's not the way a real pandemic, why you would never allow that.
Wasn't the federal government illegally flying them around the country, dropping them off?
Yes, that was all during COVID. Yeah, they were, talk about the breaking protocol with the pandemic. And politics as usual went on, the new politics, the woke politics. Everything was done to bring more of these immigrants and migrants into the country and to spread them around into areas where they could vote without being citizens and help turn states that might have been Republican to Democrat.
Well, creating an excuse for mail-in voting, which was an opportunity for massive voter fraud, in my opinion.
Right, and that was the trigger for the 2020 vote fraud, that was the mail-in stuff, which again, Donald Trump enabled by his stupid behavior and not being able to effectively combat it, but that's what he did with everything. But it was obvious what they were doing. And because of this crazy lockdown, which again, it can never be said too many times, Trump's the one that gave the order. Mm-hmm. But people that think he was against it, no, he's the one that gave the money to all these states, to horrible governors like Gavin Newsom and stuff, Gretchen Whitmer. So, he's certainly part of this. He played the role of opposition to it, which was ridiculous. He was never opposed to it. He kept doing the things. He would give you sound bites like he did with everything else and tweet stuff. That's what he did his entire administration about everything else. He didn't close the border. That's what any leader would do during a real pandemic. They never required, even without closing the border, they never vetted the illegals coming in. They didn't make sure they should have, theoretically, if they had to have them in, they just couldn't stop because that cheap labor is, you have to have it. We can't do without it. Cheap labor and illegal alien voters. You would have had a medical team on the border and they would have been vaccinated as they came in.
I like how you could pack in at Walmart, but you couldn't go to church.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, or liquor store. Just think of that. Again, people, and again, where was the opposition even to that?
America's very innovative. I heard during the pandemic and the lockdown, you had drive-through strip clubs.
Oh yeah, yes. You have to have that. That was really important. But I mean, where was the opposition on the part of church leaders? I
They're
thought,
paid off.
well, they had to be, but I thought that, but they shouldn't be able to be paid off if they're real moral leaders, which
No,
obviously they
but
aren't. But
brick
obviously
and
not. But
end of the day, they're brick and mortar men, unfortunately.
exactly. But
Yeah.
when they, I thought for sure they're not going to allow it be closed on Easter. There's no way. I said there's going to be they're going to be renegade pastor, and there wasn't anybody. And when that happened again, every time one of those things happened, I just got sadder and sadder because I said, wow, this is, there. I thought the early interviews I did about this, I remember one of my talking points was, I really think they've gone too far. They canceled March Madness. Hollywood's being affected, shopping malls and everything, other sports. I said, you can't, they push too far. You can't do this. People are not going to put up with it. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, I thought that, sports fans would be irate. I didn't see any protests from
Remember
sports fans.
they had cardboard cutouts in empty stadiums of fans and
Yes,
fake in your
that's right.
fake cheering.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what we had. And I mean, it was surrealistic, but
Well, you're watching something like the NFL when they played, I think it was the fall of 2020. You had people testing positive for COVID, but you're playing a sport where they're bumping into each other, spit, blood,
oh, it was ridiculous.
and no one dropped dead.
No.
And then they go on the sidelines and put a mask on.
Yeah, every bit of it. Again, it was all theater. I mean, how many times did you see the meme of the stupid reporter out there covering a site outside with a mask on, and then you pan over to the cameraman who wasn't wearing a mask? I mean, it was just.
Oh yeah, there was that one. I think it was MSNBC. It was the spring of 2020. I think up somewhere in Wisconsin, where we had like 75-degree weather. People were out, and they're walking around and they're doing this thing where I think it's Wisconsin because some guy walked by with a Green Bay Packers jersey on. I remember, and he goes, "Here we have people that are celebrating, and none of them are wearing masks, like this gentleman here." And the guy goes to the reporter, "You mean like your cameraman?"
Yeah, that's right. I
He
remember
calls out
that.
the camera.
Yeah.
He's like, they let that go. Get through. It's like, it's yeah, it's but you can get a lot done when you can print, when you have endless source of money and just buy compliance, because you can, one of the things is just buy, paying people to do things. Well, paying people to put on ventilators, which killed a lot of people. They got it was like $39,000 per patient or
Yes,
something.
$39,000 for a
Just,
ventilator.
yeah.
So there's so many aspects to this that
Or PPE, remember PPE, all the money,
yeah. And
they're gonna spend that just to spend it. And I saw this one picture of a classroom. I guess this was probably federally funded, where each desk for the child was like honeycombed off with plastic, plexiglass.
yeah.
And I mean, really? And
Yeah, tell
you
me
couldn't
what's
even
going on.
see the teacher,
Yeah, that's what should it.
or the band. Remember the band performing in bubbles?
Yes. Or be a blowing, and there was one there one that they have like a hole in the mask for the wind instrument or something. I mean, with so many stupid things that this, and again, if we ever return to sanity, which I doubt we are, if we this will be looked back as the when America hit rock. That we were this stupid. I mean, well, the whole world. I can't badmouth America because the entire world did it. So it's not like there were other places. There was less opposition. There were fewer protests in America than anywhere else. In places like France, England, even
Now,
Canada.
does that speak to compliant Americans, or the fact that
Yeah.
America, or to the fact that America, maybe its virtue is political power is still dispersed, that you had states that are relatively normal, like Arkansas or Florida, which never quite
Yeah.
got into it, so it's going to be more dispersed.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but I just look at it. I think, we had the convoy in Canada, which of Canada, well, you would think Canada had fewer people because of America, but Canada had a thriving trucker convoy up there, and they, of course, ultimately nothing happened. Pierre Trudeau just says, I'm going to start freezing, taking your bank accounts.
Yeah, but he goes through all that, exposes himself as an authoritarian thug.
Yeah, yeah.
Albeit a feminine one.
Yes.
But then he admits that the truckers are right. We don't need a mandate. They just relax. Then they forget they ever mandated anything. We just strongly encouraged. You know.
Yeah. Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia. Yeah, I mean, I just keep rewriting history. But you know, in America, shortly after that, when we had a trucker convoy here, it was nothing. It's a giant nothing burger. Almost no one participated. The authorities were out in force to stop it, and it's just, you know, there's. After January 6th, especially, I think that Americans, whatever fighting spirit was there in America, was knocked right out of them.
Well, as Tucker Carlson exposed with the video that he's just where he was fired from Fox News, in a recent interview with the Capitol Hill police chief, that this place was full of feds, and it was a false flag. They instigated it. And they lied about when they called it an insurrection. They've criminalized political protest and free speech. They put people in jail, like the guy Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman. They put him, he was in jail for years for something that he didn't do, and people know it now. And this took people at the Justice Department. This took people at the FBI. Yeah. Then they claimed that, you know, five Capitol Hill police were killed that day, which is a lie, of course. Absolutely. Never happened. One person died a day later of a stroke, and they had him lie in state.
Yeah.
And they came in like he was an assassinated head of state.
Killed
or something.
With a fire hydrant. Yeah, I mean, which is an absolute lie. It's very, again, if you look back at just what happened in the last 3 years, and you look at the January 6th thing, the giant PSYOP, false flag, whatever you want to call it, it's been miscast and misrepresented more than any other event in history, except maybe COVID. I don't know. But, just, you know, to something that obviously most definitely wasn't. It really was almost all peaceful protest. And yet these people are still in jail, political prisoners held for over 2 years with no due process, nothing. And nobody cares. There's no civil libertarians out there. I'm a civil libertarian. Apparently there aren't very many of us left. ACLU, nobody cares. And that's going on. And so they've from that, that's developed into, you know, started with Holocaust denial around the world for a long time. Mm-hmm. They came up with a denial thing to make, you know, say that, well, you must have a mental illness to be saying this.
To ask questions.
Yeah, to ask these questions. This is mentally ill. This is insane to do that. And we're going to have to lock you up somewhere. And then from there, now the denial thing is being used for everything. So those people, if you're still talking about the elections, you're an election denier. In fact, I just heard Mike Lindell, poor Mike Lindell of MyPillow. He's lost almost all of his outlets. I think he's going to go bankrupt. Walmart, all these places suddenly stopped selling his product. And because the newspaper reports that he continues to be an election denier. So denier, he's a denier. And people like me are COVID deniers. And that's what happened on social media. Even Donald Trump, because he's an election denier, they just kicked all these people off for being an election denier, COVID denier, science denier, whatever. And again, they're using that denier thing to make it seem like it's a mental illness, that it's not a protected right in the Bill of Rights to be able to look at things differently and have a different perspective. And that's where we are right now, is you can't have a different perspective. So I'm really shocked, so far as my book has done, Masking the Truth is, I think it's doing pretty well. And I've heard so many people tell me they bought 4 and 5 copies, and the Amazon ranking has been pretty good, even though we told people to buy it from the publisher at first, because I get a lot more of the royalties from there. And people always ask me, you know, how can you, this is the first time I've had a publisher where I will get that much more from another place. So, but you know, I said, Amazon serves a purpose too, because you need numbers there. We need ratings and reviews. And I need more. If you're listening out there, if you like the book, please at least go rate it. Is most people are followers, and want people to be interested in something. What's going to catch their eye is how many numbers that thing has in the top of the page. People are so superficial. They're just, it doesn't change from the time they're in high school and the cheerleader or the quarterback catches their eye. They know where it is in the standing, and they know those numbers mean something. So if the book occupying public such as it exists. You can say the same thing at IMDb, though. Look at the rating there. But Amazon, the numbers are important. So if they see a lot of numbers at the top, they're going to, oh, this must be something worthwhile. And so they'll maybe check it out. If they don't see many numbers, they're just going to go right by, even despite what the book is about. So I ask anybody, please, to try to do that. But I think that, again, that it's, I hope that it's doing well. But this, what's amazing so far is that I haven't heard a single negative word about it. That's never happened to me, because I write about controversy. I know I'm going to get negative. I know I'm going to hear negative stuff because I'm writing. I'm putting myself out there, and I'm basically coming at it from a point of view that is a real minority in the country. So I expect it. I got thick skin. But nobody has – I've got not one critical view on it at all. And, you know, everybody so far has thought it was great. That's mostly my supporters, I guess, that are reading it. But – and I think that – finally, it looks like it's appeared on Google Books. This is my eighth book, and a lot of things are happening to this book. It never happened to any others. Google Books didn't have it up for a long time. It took, I think it's up on WorldCat, which is a catalog of all the libraries. But it's up there before it's even published. And it took forever. I think it's there now. I'm still not even sure. So if they're sure, they're going to do everything you can to hold down a book like that. But so far, I've been pleasantly surprised. And if we can just get the word out there. And I think if you look at the whole story, as I have in the book, if you go back and say, oh, that's right. And just look at it from point A to point C and say, okay, where did it happen? China, Italy, New York City, all, you know, lots of questions about what was going on there. Lots of lies. Lots of things that were proven to not be true. So it just goes from there. And eventually, once the introduction of the vaccine, once that happened, then that's part two of the story. The first part is convincing people that there was this deadly virus, COVID-19, which you mentioned earlier about the AIDS virus. COVID-19, and I point that out in my book over and over again, the strain COVID-19, which is a 2019 strain of the yearly coronavirus. And by the way, what happened to COVID-20, COVID-21, and COVID-22? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nobody knows. But it's never been proven. They have never proven to, they can't prove it exists because they have never isolated it. Whenever they've asked for the isolates, there was a woman in Canada that sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the FDA asking for the isolates, for the isolated strains of this thing that they claim exists, which they can never produce because, you know, she wanted documentation for how they, you know, they put in the vaccine. And they wrote back to her, there were no COVID-19 strains, isolates available. And I think this thing is everywhere, right? Everybody's testing positive, yet they don't have any strains of it? Why? I mean, that come on, how ridiculous is that? And so to quote them, because it wasn't available, we had to simulate COVID-19. This is for the vaccine. We had to simulate COVID-19 by using remnants of the regular coronavirus. So this thing has been a fraud from the beginning to end. Coronavirus is a common cold and all that stuff. And that's why you heard, especially so many celebrities for a long time, and they still do it. It's it's one of those things where they think they're being more honest because technically they're not lying. And they would constantly say, so-and-so celebrity tested positive for the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
That was where they were. They didn't say COVID-19. And so technically they could say, okay, yeah, maybe they did test positive with a coronavirus, a cold or whatever, but they were asymptomatic. They used that Orwellian term. In other words, not sick. They were just like the AIDS patients back in the day. They would, they would go to terrify to their doctors. All their friends were getting this thing. They didn't, they felt fine. They went there, give you that HIV test. Oh man, you're HIV positive. Oh no, we'd put you on what the hell is the drug now? I forgot it.
AZT.
AZT. Yeah. So it gets you on AZT, and that's when you get sick. And once they stopped giving AZT to those patients, they stopped dying. And lo and behold, and Fauci was right in the middle there pushing that AZT nonstop, much as he was pushing the PCR test. So it's the same thing here. If HIV, they never proved HIV existed, as you said. They haven't proven COVID-19 exists either. So it's really repeat, except this was a worldwide production.
And well, you're not supposed to follow the science. You're supposed to just trust the science, have faith, and have a Fauci prayer candle.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you. and science in this case is very, seems very unscientific. But I mean, you know, when you talk about the something like the PCR test, the guy who invented it, Harry Mullis, who died very suspiciously right before this thing hit, after saying some really horrible things about Fauci, who hated, and I have all the quotes in the book. This is the guy that invented the vaccine. So it's not a conspiracy theorist. When people say that to me, I said, no, this is the guy who invented it. And nobody knows it better than that guy. And he was saying, you can't use it to detect any virus. You can use it to give you any result you want. But that's the guy that invented it. So you're still going to believe in it after the guy who invented it said that. They're telling you it's a 90% false positive rate. So this was, and this is the thing that everybody, we talked about. Everybody has the home test kits. My family, you know, one guy I knew, an old friend who went to Christmas this day, and he, one of his little granddaughters, they were, you know, they were making them all take COVID tests on Christmas Day. They couldn't get away from this nonsense. One of the little girls tests positive, so they had to break it up. Oh, we got to go, man. We got to isolate. We got to go. She tested positive for COVID. This is insane. What people?
Is this a amateur home tests?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's ridiculous, and they know it's 90% false. And I still see people in my family get, and the people that have had all the boosters, the vaccines, the boosters, and they're still testing positive for COVID or supposedly getting COVID. You try to question them because you'd think that might shatter their faith. Because I've tried to say, well, what do you think you got vaccinated for? Because you still supposedly got this thing, whatever it is. You got the COVID after you got vaccinated. So why, you know, you're not supposed to get the thing you're vaccinated for. It's supposed to stop you from getting it. No. And then they'll just quote, they'll regurgitate the later talking points of, no, actually, you know, we never said COVID. Well, you did say it many times, but we never said COVID was, the vaccine was going to stop you from getting COVID. Yes, you did. But, and you should have said it because that's what vaccines are supposed to do. But stop you from getting what you're vaccinated against, and you just started. They just started saying, "No, it just it lessens the makes the symptoms less severe." Okay, and I've had people tell me back, "Well, yeah, my doctor said, you know, if I hadn't it would have been so much worse if I hadn't got the vaccine." And there's nothing you can say to people when they're that indoctrinated. Okay, sure, go get another booster. You know, and they're perfectly fine. The death rate went up by 40% in 2021, according to the insurance industry.
After the introduction of
after the introduction, is that's what Peter McCullough said when he was on my show. That's the only thing new that was introduced in the equation. It's obviously from that. And but people won't believe that. They just turn that off. Oh, that's crazy. You're getting 8 boosters and still getting COVID, and that's not crazy.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's that Rand Corton in Canada, he pointed out in his research, he said that the all-cause death didn't go up until the introduction of the vaccines. And again, you have those life insurance numbers, which are telling. 40%, which is huge in one quarter. It's one of those things where no one's going to look at a chart. Obviously, the CDC is not going to follow this. How this is going to play out with the vaccine, when you've had, I think there have been over 13 billion doses issued worldwide, roughly 1.7 per human being. 75% of the population, supposedly. Apparently, Africa is the least vaccinated at 25%. Of course, they're not dropping dead from COVID. Yeah. They have a lot of other health problems in Africa, as it always does.
Well, I think they supposedly have a lot fewer cases than we do here. I mean, it's per capita, but it's obvious. I mean,
it's another thing with vaccine, like modern medicine in general. You have under modern medicine, we've had this explosion in chronic illnesses and allergies, and of course, autism, a whole other thing, which Robert F. Kennedy Jr. focuses on. And what they say, it's just some sort of genetic mutation, or just happens. But then it just so happens it correlates with the increase of the vaccine schedule, and it does appear to be something like neurological damage. Of course, vaccines do stimulate an immunological response that cause, you know, with the adjuvants and these things, these foreign matter. So you can see where it sparks allergies, and it's just common sense. Well, it's at the very least, it's a reasonable question. Then they call you an anti-vaxxer. Well, yeah. Fine. If you know, it seems to me that you have a right to reject vaccines. The whole vaccine paradigm is based on, of course, a germ theory, which is questionable given the been exposed about Louis Pasteur. He kept two books, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, I think on his deathbed, didn't he say in the end it's the terrain, not the germ?
Yeah, I think they're famous. Darwin repudiated his own dissent. But they still believe in these things. But
the germ theory, it's a great business model for big pharma.
Right.
You know, the idea that there's these, of course, I understand the whole idea of virology was sort of created to explain something they couldn't explain with disease, meaning the failure of the Koch postulate. You know, this happened during the Spanish Civil War, the Spanish flu during World War I, mm-hmm. where they did this thing with the mucus. You know, they take the mucus of an infected person, supposedly infected person, give it to somebody else. They don't get sick. Which mm-hmm. is, and you see that a lot with these diseases. So there is a question. This makes even we need to even question the nature of disease, at least what we come mm-hmm. to think of it.
Yeah, I've never understood that thing about vaccines where they inject you with the disease to make you stop. I've never understood, because if they're injecting you with the disease, why wouldn't you get sick then?
Yeah, well, the idea was an attenuated. It's theoretical. I mean, Jenner was a fraud. Louis Pasteur was a fraud, but it's all based on their work. Mm-hmm. So, should I think the whole system is a fraud? If it's
I think that's where I worked for the medical industrial complex for 44 years, so they fired me apparently. And I saw the sausage being made, and it's not pretty. And they say you won't. If you work in a restaurant, you're not going to later go and eat at that restaurant because you see things that the public doesn't see. And it's the same thing.
I've heard people talk about the whole how physicians and nurses are trained. They're brainwashed, and even like when you're at med school, and then when you have your residency, they sort of haze you. It's sort of a mind control.
Overwork you,
exhaust you. Then they fill you with all this propaganda, how smart and great you are, how much better you are than everyone else because you're a doctor. So then it doesn't instill critical thinking. It instills orthodoxy in a field where you want to be very highly critical of the situation. And it was the whole idea of mass medicine, which is problematic because people respond differently to different treatments. And the idea that you can just mass inoculate people. Is highly questionable. But again, it's a great business model for big pharma, which is tied into, the Rockefellers and that whole set. And it was cartelized. Sure. And, you had companies like, Pfizer, which is a criminal operation. It's an adjudicated criminal operation. They actually were criminally fined, but they're the ones entrusted with producing this experimental gene therapy drug they call a vaccine because they changed the definition. Yeah, we get into these definitions then.
Yes.
Now it's no longer functions as a vaccine. Actually, it apparently manipulates your genetic your genes to produce a so-called spike protein. I don't know if that's even true. This is from a lay person, like I'm just trusting all these people. All I know is that it's injecting foreign matter in my body, which for something, it just doesn't make any, again, it doesn't bear scrutiny if you look at it.
But it's just, it's like, I go back to the thing I say all the time with James Forrestal, the Secretary of Defense of the Truman, before they pushed him out of a window. He killed Joe McCarthy before they later killed Joe McCarthy at Bethesda Naval Hospital too. McCarthy, if this was not some giant conspiracy, once in a while they'd make a mistake in our favor. Once in a while, something good would happen. This is all random, so something like this is always something horrible happening. Fear porn, wars. There's nothing. When's the last time anything good happened?
Yeah, look at Ukraine, right?
Ukraine.
COVID ends. They have to start a war in Europe.
Yeah.
And they've literally ignited another war in Europe.
Yeah. There's
one that was completely avoidable.
You never see any optimistic leader come up and say, this is, we've got a lot of problems here at home. We're going to clean up all this mess. We're going to build this infrastructure. This is ridiculous. We haven't touched the infrastructure for 60 years. And I don't mean Joe Biden's absurd build back nonsense.
Yeah, with the green technology.
Getting rid of racist roads and stuff. I'm talking about actually Let's have an internet that's faster than the Dominican Republic. You know, that kind of stuff. We're disgraceful. Power. You know, you had a power hit earlier. We should have power grids that are foolproof by now. They haven't been updated in so many years. They're ancient, and the sensors are built in China. All this stuff is ridiculous. We should have. Why don't we have heated technology on the roads? I mean, they've had heated driveways for probably 50 years. Why isn't that technology on? If we spent funds where we should be spending, if you stop spending them on wars and stuff like that, you could do that. You could have heated. In fact, the Biden administration was actually criticized because they had something they wanted to have, like heated sidewalks in one little town or something. Mm-hmm. And of course, the residents go, "Oh, it's crazy! Oh, I can't spend money." Yeah, so something that might actually work to your benefit. You know, I mean, I don't know why they wanted to.
Yeah, some people probably have Ukraine flags in front of their houses.
Yeah, exactly. They're okay with that. They don't question anything. But so you know, once in a while.
That was another thing. It just, you know, moment COVID winds down, all of a sudden Ukraine, all of a sudden Ukraine flags everywhere. Now, where do these flags come from?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody, you know,
and everyone's saying Kyiv instead of Kiev. So it's been Kiev. I'm sorry. I always say Kiev. What are you talking about? I don't say chicken Kyiv. I said chicken Kiev.
But, exactly. We're mad. We're living in a mad world. And, what happened with COVID is that, again, when I talk about JFK or 9/11, anything like that, any of the other stuff I write about, it's really secondary to this. This is the only story, again, that I know of. I don't know of any other issue that impacted every single person alive everywhere and all around the world, because it was, I've said that we were, had been at World War III for a while. And it's a war of all the governments against the citizens, their citizens all around the world.
Yeah. And, well, we saw with Event 201, right? In the fall. But this was war game.
Right. And it went all the way back to Dark Winter in 2001. I go through all that in the book. Dark Winter 2001, where they simulate a response to develop a vaccine in response to a deadly pandemic coming out of China. And Bill Gates is there, WEF, WHO, all the usual suspects, CDC. And they have six or seven more of these things leading up to Agenda 201 right before.
So notice how these viruses always emerge from like some exotic place or some place we're not familiar with, like Asia or Africa. It's never Indianapolis or something.
Right. That's right. Well, I guess they like to have the scripted aspect to it, and it's coming out of the Red Menace or something, but it was no mistake that no accident that Joe Biden in his first winter as president was babbling on and on about dark. What's going to be dark winter? It's going to be dark winter. I mean, that was code.
You're going to die. You're going to die.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a dark. Yeah, that was the name of the first exercise when they started this nonsense, 2001. So it was very significant. And again, not 0.1% of America is educated or informed enough to know what that meant when he was saying to her. Mm-hmm. And they sit there, be a dark winter. You know, they don't even understand where it comes from.
He just happens to be saying the very thing that the white paper called it, right?
Yeah, exactly. He just thought of it on his own with his, deductive, great, brilliant deductive powers that he has. And yeah, so it's.
Well, from what I understand, he is used to plagiarism, so.
Yeah. Maybe that was it. But I mean, the whole story is in the book, and it really is something that people need to not forget. And there was no way really to end the book, as I said. I don't know how you end a story like this because it looks like it's
ongoing. Well, it's ongoing because I think you know, with Ukraine, it's one crisis after another. They'll create a war, then they'll move on to another public health crisis. I think we're still under the 9/11 emergency decree.
Yeah, can we have some downtime? Will we ever have any downtime, a period of calm? I mean, where everything's cool and we can say, hey, okay, let's concentrate. Now that all these incredible crises and hobgoblins and all these, everything's going, let's.
Well, you want one crisis after another. Otherwise, people might start noticing what they're doing in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. If you had a period of calm, maybe people would start to realize, well, damn, these people really are corrupt and they really aren't ever punished for what they do.
Yeah, I mean, if they're promoting things like street crime and violence on the street, then people focus on that and not the high level criminality that, you know, that characterizes, you know, our governments, the regime, if you will.
Well, that's what
high level criminality. And I was actually just talking about this today at work with somebody. We were reminiscing on all the insanity, and the guy just says, "Yeah, and you know what? Despite all this, no one ever goes to jail."
Yeah, exactly. It's the beauty of it, isn't it? Yeah.
That's why it goes. It keeps going and going and going. And perhaps if someone, like, what was it in China where that CEO was caught with corrupted baby formula? They just shot him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with a bit of that extreme, but yeah, I mean, they ought to be held accountable, and no one is in America. Obviously, with Hunter Biden, and there's nothing going to happen to Joe Biden, and it's just like nothing happened to Hillary Clinton. But it said Donald Trump will be repeatedly prosecuted as a symbol of opposition, and nothing really happened to him. He's an actor, and so they just keep, you know, flogging that dead horse, and that's what they're going to do. Alex Jones may continue to, you know, go to trial for Sandy Hook every other week or something. Nobody questions it, and meanwhile, we have all these leaders who are doing horrible things and have been doing horrific things I've recounted in my books, and they're never held accountable. There's no justice.
Well, this just the recent revelations regarding the Biden family. How do they think they became multimillionaires? It's obviously influence peddling and bribery. That's how else you become a millionaire in public service. That's how you do it. It's not shrewd investment. Then they have, like, apparently they have not Twitter, but some sort of text messaging where Hunter Biden's bragging about being next to his father, Joe, and he's shaking down some Chinese official.
Yeah, it really is. It's like organized crime. It really is.
22 shell companies. Like, really? Now, why do you create shell companies, LLCs, to create a convoluted method of transfer of funds?
Yeah,
well, it's obviously money laundering. It's they're trying to cover it up.
He learned well when he was vice president under Clinton. I think he learned well.
Little son of a bitch, right?
He wasn't under Clinton. He was under Obama, but he learned well, you know, when he was in, because he pushed a lot of that disaster.
Well, bragging about it at the Council of Foreign Relations, where he shakes down the Ukrainian. Well, he gets them to fire a prosecutor who's investigating Burisma, who's giving his son a no-show job, $80,000 a month or something. And I said, aid isn't coming. And bitch, they fired him.
on videotape, he's doing that.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. At the same time, literally the same time that's out there, they impeached Donald Trump for some stupid phone conversation he had with Ukraine. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes. Which, by the way, as president, he should be looking into that corruption, strictly speaking.
Yeah. He basically was impeached for telling them to hey, look into that corruption over there.
Yes.
How dare you tell them to look into corruption? We're going to be, I mean, this country is, it's, I can't get much more black-pilled than I am, but
like you said, in many ways, Biden is the perfect president for our age, for the late stage empire, because it's so corrupt. I mean, our finance is corrupt, our education system is corrupt, our medical system is corrupt. And in many ways, to have that corruption exposed during an acute crisis may be ultimately beneficial, because it exposes to people what the problem is. I remember the 90s when it was dealing with sort of the Clinton corruption, corruption. Sure. And people look at me and say, well, I know he did that. It's obvious he's a lying slimeball and a sexual deviant and all that.
Right.
But he's the president. I don't want, if he's impeached, it might hurt the stock market.
Right, right.
No, so basically, exactly. You're fine with high-level government corruption, as long as your 401k plan is fat. Well,
didn't hurt the stock market to impeach Trump twice.
So, I know. I love it. Why would that hurt the stock market? Why would I think Bill Clinton is like holding the economy up or something? Guy never worked a day in his life. But it was like this notion, but the idea that you would countenance or wink at corruption as long as you're doing well. And there's a price to pay for that.
And
America's paying the price for that, I think. And there's a sort of retribution or some sort of chastening, mm-hmm. if you will, that needs to take place. That's, you know, maybe it's God doing it or something. It's America deserves this because we've brought it upon ourselves with our sort of our indifference to the corruption because we've been able to live it up.
Right.
So perhaps that. Well, anyway, your book, Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World is currently available. Again, you recommend people buy it from the publisher directly?
That's fine, but I really don't. If people buy it, I'm grateful where they buy it, because there's an advantage to buying it to Amazon, too. It helps the ratings, mm-hmm. and certainly the health rankings, and certainly the ratings.
There's Kindle, which people like, right? So.
Sure, yeah, and Kindle there, and so Barnes & Noble, wherever you want to buy it. I mean, sales so recommended to your libraries. It's going to be hard to get it in libraries, but we can do it. If you recommend it there, that's a sale, so that would be wonderful. So anything people can do is, I'm not going to sit there and quibble about where they can buy it or anything. I'm just grateful.
Okay, well, Don, thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Tim. It's always fun.
Take it easy. I'm still in the dark here. I'm on battery power.
Okay. Well, I wish you luck. I hope your power comes back.
At least it's not too hot of a night. It's a little, but it isn't brutal. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, man. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Good night.
See you then. Okay, bye.
The song.